12, verses 12 to 27, and it's on page 813 of the Pew Bible if you want to have a look. Yeah, I can't read it without these. All right, this is one body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffer, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen. Jason's just going to come on.
Thanks, Calvin. A couple of members of our church are unwell, quite unwell. John and Beth, I reckon I saw you, John. There you are. It's great to see you here with us this morning. And it's been a big week for John and also for Lois. So how about you just lay hands on our brother there, those who are gathered around. We're going to pray for you, John, just where you are. And we're also going to pray for Lois. Our God, we thank you for your great grace and mercy and compassion for us. We need to remind ourselves of that because so much of life is full of hard things. You hear our prayers, you want to answer, you are able to answer. So we come to you, our God, as the one who is able to do these things. And we want to firstly pray for John. We pray that you might have great grace on him, that you might strengthen him in heart and mind. And Bev too, as they go this journey. And God, we would pray that in your mercy you might heal John in the name of Jesus, that you might have mercy and use every means to bring healing into his body. We pray the same for our dear sister Lois. We thank you for her. We thank you for her trust in you. And again we ask, in your name, our Lord, we bring her to you and we pray that you might bring healing into her body and turn this cancer around, have mercy on her, keep her strong in trusting you. Lord, we love her, and what we know is you love her even more. So this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Does anyone like rosters here? Oh, there's one. There's a few. Let me guess, though, you like putting them together. Yes. Not many of us like rosters. And church life is full of a roster. If we do anything, we do rosters, don't we? We have rosters for lots of things. In fact, last night we had friends around, and they're from another church. And they were having a quiet complaint about the number of emails they get during the week reminding them of all their rostered positions. They get these requests to fill rosters. And in fact, what they said is they feel like they have another job. They've got their day job and then this church job where they've got to fill in the gaps. I mean, we have it here, don't we? We have a holiday program. We've been asking for three or more volunteers so we can make that happen. But we have lots of rosters. Churches love rosters. Well, last week we started this journey of looking at God's incredible adventure for us. And if you remember, it was from Matthew 16, Christ is building his church, the gates of Hades will not prevail, people will find liberty, and we're getting on board with that. Well, that sounds fairly simple. When the early church launched into this, when they discovered what Jesus' words meant for them, 3,000 people came to faith in one day. That's a lot of people to go from, I think it was 150, wasn't it, in the upper room, kind of all worshipping together. Now you got 3,000 people on your books. And it turns out by about three chapters or four chapters later that they're struggling looking out for the poor. They're struggling with the issues between the Greeks and the Jews and the not Jews. They've got cultural challenges. They have to get organized. And so they start to sort that out. And I'm thinking they put together a whole bunch of rosters. Don't you? They did all this. They did all this, we need to remind ourselves, without any paid positions. No staff, no computer systems, no email. They did all this alongside their poorly paid day jobs. That's what they experienced. And sometimes we forget the excitement of the mission against the hard realities of what getting organized and looking after people. That's pretty much what some of their first problems are around, is how do you look after all these people? We know jobs need to be done. Everyone finds it tough to get a volunteer. I'm currently cricket coordinator for my school, and I've given people heads up that I'll be finishing this year, and not a single person has dared put their hand up for that task. Well, church is not any different. If we want to do anything useful, we probably need to organise ourselves. Yeah, put a few rosters together. But I wonder if there's a better way than standing in front of the church and showing you a spreadsheet and saying, we've got a couple of gaps here that everyone needs to fill. As the president of the Baptist Church, I get to visit a few other churches, right? And I remember once sitting in a church meeting much like this and then putting up the chair of the committee or whatever they was called, put up there on the board every position that was vacant and said, we've been trying to get people to fill those positions. Why aren't any of you committing? I don't reckon he got any more volunteers that day. I'm just a guess. Also, as a visitor, I thought, this is not a great look. Is there a better way of helping people see a need and use what they have to fill a need? Paul here has this image of a human body to make the point that every member needs to be on a roster. No. That every member has a part to play. Every member matters. Don't look down on anyone or anything they do because it all matters. Now, for the Corinthian church, this is important because they kind of are ranking contributions in the world. I mean, much like we do. So doctors are more important, it seems, in our world than teachers, etc. Well, they were kind of doing that. By the way, I don't agree with that. I'm just telling you what the pay rates say. And so they're doing that. And if you look with me in verse 28 of chapter 12, Paul says this. He says, God's appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. The amusing thing to me is the Corinthians think the tongues thing is the most important gift. Paul puts it at the bottom of the list. But having done that, having said there is an apostle and a prophet and a teacher and an evangelist and all these kind of things, he wants to make sure, before he makes that point, that they don't confuse what he's saying here. That he's not ranking people. So that's why he takes some time and says, basically, every member matters. Everybody makes a contribution, and it's not ranked by importance. It's all important. It's all necessary. That's why he talks about this body. So in verses 21 to 26, if you have your Bibles, you'll see there he's talking about that eyes can't say to hands, I don't need you. You know it quite well. Every part, even the less honourable parts we treat with special honour. So this is well-known text. Doesn't matter how honourable, how unpresentable, every person matters. Verse 12 is interesting. You see that? Where he says, the body's a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. When Paul uses this image of a body, he's pinching from his time. He would have read in the kind of the news that the Romans talked about society in this way. They said society is like a body, and the head of the body is all the rulers, and then the body parts are all the plebs. And they get to do all the jobs, and the heads get to tell them all what to do. So they use that image. Everyone has their place. The head is the power. But the body is about society. The surprise to me is when Paul says, well, I'm going to use that image and apply it. There's a body, and it's got many parts, and its many parts make up one body. I'm surprised he doesn't say, and that's what it's like with the church. He makes the point that not that this image fits the church, but actually it fits Christ. That we are Christ's body. That all these members, Jews and Greeks, slave or free, all these different members of all the communities of faith, together don't make the church, they make Christ's body. Christ's contribution. He wants them to realise that, you know, the most important thing is not what church you belong to, but who you belong to. You belong to Christ. It's not that you belong to a church and you're a body to get the church's work done. No, you belong to Christ and you're a body of Christ to get Christ's work done. So that may seem like such a simple point, so obvious, but if you hang out in church, you might forget that we are not the church's body. Instead, we are Christ's body because we talk so much about what you can do for your church. We talk about all the opportunities you can have to serve in this church. We talk about your giving to the things we do in this church. We don't talk as much about the things that you don't do in this church. I know that there are people in our church who have served in other places, other organisations, other mission organisations, and because they're not, in a sense, part of what we're committed to, we've not talked about them. But the reality is, they're Christ's body. So we talk a lot about our church work, but we need to remember that we aren't members of our church. We're members of Christ's body. And what God is doing in the world through the body of Christ is bigger than what happens just in this building here. You know, we as a church, as Unley Park Baptist, cannot claim all of your service, all of your time, and all of your money. In fact, we should be celebrating the ways that you are Christ's body in other places. Some of you here are in BSF. We should celebrate the way that you contribute. I mean, we've got, you run the state, don't you? It's your job. That's important for us to celebrate. This is an amazing ministry. It's Christ's body at work, and it's outside of here. I like to think of it this way. We can serve Christ within our church, or we can serve Christ from our church, but we don't actually claim everything for our church. We've got to have a lot more generosity. You know, there are lots of amazing things going on in the world that you people are part of, and I would love to find ways of telling that story and for us to all remember Christ is doing great things in a really big world. So we want to encourage us all to participate in God's work wherever he sends us. One of the things that is important for you to know that you're going to get in this pastor is I will invest in Christ's work outside of this church. Not all of my time is claimed by Unley Park Baptist. Hence, I am currently the president of a denomination that doesn't have a, well, has a little bit to do with our church, but it's not only about our church. I don't do it just for our church. I serve in a school. Why? Because I believe Christ, I'm part of the body of Christ, I need to be in that school. You too, as well. We are not the church's body, we are Christ's body. And we have to be careful when we say that too, I think. Because we need to make sure we mean what Paul's saying. Some people have taken this to mean that God or Christ has no hands but our hands. Ever heard that said? Yeah, no hands but our hands. No feet but our feet. Thank goodness that's not true. Thank goodness that's not true. That Christ would be limited by what we do. Oh my goodness, that's not the way it works. Christ does so, Jesus does so much more in the world than just what our hands can work. In fact, if you read the Bible, what you notice is God is constantly using people who even hate God to do God's work. Nebuchadnezzar is just one example. God is, Balaam even, God uses a prophet who goes to try and curse God's people to do God's work. So thank goodness God is not restricted to just using our hands and our feet and our work. What I think we should understand is that we have nothing to contribute, no life, no capacity to do God's work apart from belonging to Christ. Jesus is not dependent on us to do his work. We're dependent on him. We are Christ's body and we need Jesus to do Jesus's work. We just cannot get it done. Now, at first glance, that may not make any practical sense. There are a lot of jobs you can do where, in a sense, you don't need Jesus. You don't need Jesus to wash the dishes after the service today, or those cups. You kind of think, well, do I need Christ to go and wash those dishes? Or vacuum the floor or run creche? In what way, Jason, do you mean I can't do God's work? These musicians here today, they came here with talent, I hope. They came here with talent. Do you know that the talent they have here is the same talent that you could use in a pub, to do a gig at a pub? The talent is the same. So in what sense do we need Christ to do God's work? Because so much of what we do looks like we're just bringing what we have. Well, the mistake I think we make is we think God's work is about getting a job done. We might think that today I just came here to play bass. Or somebody came here and they're gone. Someone came here to put cups out. That there's a job to be done. But that's not where God's work is found, I think. God's work is not found in the job. Let me give you some examples. When I first got here, we had a brunch. I loved it. It was awesome. My kids loved it. They thought it was amazing. We had eggs and bacon and other kinds of delicious food. And I saw some men serving with Superman aprons. Is that right? Vague memory of these aprons. And they served with joy and delight. It looked like it was fun. And then their eggs and bacon, there was a buzz of community, and it was fun. That's where God's work's done. God's work's done not in so much the job, it's done in all the other things that happen. The fun that you have, the sense of service you bring, the buzz of community. There. What about with the worship team? A person comes and they play some music. That's all very well and good. Here's the miracle, that somebody in the congregation is sitting there and they are moved and they experience the presence of God. Because why? Someone played a guitar and sang a few songs and we had some words up. And that's the miracle, people, that these ordinary things we have are used for changing people's lives. And somebody comes out and they listen to my words, the just words, and they say, oh, that was so helpful. And I'm like, that's a miracle that mere words could help somebody. Or take I love the fact that Eileen Crouch, through her teaching, rocking up to school every day and valuing children and sharing her faith somehow, sees people come to faith and they thank her for the difference they make in their lives. And they're like, not little kids anymore. They've got children themselves and they're much older. The fact that something happened with Eileen's teaching, let me say this, is a miracle. It's a miracle that God could take such ordinary things and do extraordinary things with it. Or how about when we say to people there's a need here and a person's heart's moved and they reach into their pocket and they give you cash so that the need might be met. And then the cash is taken across here and the person, sure, they get their bill paid or their need met, but what happens in their heart? People care for me. People want to help me. There's God's work. God's work is not in the job itself. It's in what God does with that. And you know what? That's what you cannot do. You cannot change lives, turn hearts to Jesus, move people by them experiencing the presence of God. You cannot do that. That is outside your range of competence. That is entirely God. You would expect me to come here this morning prayerfully, wouldn't you? You'd say, Jason, I hope you prayed for that preaching thing. Because you and I both know that these are words unless God works. Yeah, you'd expect that I did it. Did we do that when we had to wash dishes this morning? Or we're on rostered on for a creche? Do we go, God, could you take these ordinary things I'm doing and use them for your great and good work? Because that's God's work. We can't bring God's healing, hope, miracles, power, presence into the world apart from Christ. And we're Christ's body. So, I want you to notice something else about this. I'm making a lot of a little here. Four words this morning. We are Christ's body. Something else to notice about that is Paul doesn't talk about gifts are what you bring. He talks about members. Every person, you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and each one of you is part of it. He doesn't concentrate on what skills you're going to bring. Wow, you're a tradesman here or you're a tradie. We could use that in our church. Probably could, but he doesn't concentrate on that. He concentrates on the person, every one of you as you a part of it. Now, hopefully you've understood this already. But your part in the body of Christ is not about doing jobs. And this is more than valuing who you are above what you do. Though I hope we do that. I hope we care for you as a person, not just because of what you do. We don't want to treat you like you're a volunteer or an employee. But this is more than that. This is recognizing that as the members of Christ's body, we bring who we are. What's good for each other is not just what you do, but it's also your character, it's also your relationships, it's also your faith, who you are. You bring who you are to help people. So children's ministry works not necessarily because we teach good information. Most of you here who went through Sunday school probably can't remember a single lesson that was taught you. What you will remember are the people who taught you. You remember the way they cared for you. They remembered the way they prayed for you. You remembered the way they had integrity, that they kept their promises. You remember these things. In fact, that's true of every teacher I've ever had, not just in Sunday school. So I rarely have remembered the lesson. I've always remembered the person. The person is the bit that has helped me. Our richest contributions are made when we bring who we are into what we do. And that's why no one here is superfluous to requirements. No one. Because the reason why we will miss people is not because there's a space on a roster. It's because we're going to miss you. We miss you. We miss your laugh. We miss your sad dad jokes. We miss the way you rush around. We miss the way that you take your sweet time to get to the point. We miss your fussiness over stacking things. We miss you. Now, you can all try and figure out who the heck I was talking about in those things. But I could go around. I could go around and tell you exactly why we miss you. And when people leave our church, we do not miss them because they can't do the job anymore. We miss them. We miss them. And that's the contribution we bring. Is we don't bring a job. We don't even bring a gift. We bring ourselves. Every one of you, as you, are a member of Christ's body, and we miss it when we don't have you serving and giving and part of us. And it's so amazing when you see people bringing who they are to what they do. I remember the last church, we had a welcome team. And there was a roster, of course. There's a roster for a welcome team. But there were some people who didn't care about the roster because they loved welcoming people. The roster for them was irrelevant. And they were alive when new people came to our church. And they loved connecting with them. There's my son's drum teacher. He plays drums in that church, in the worship band. And I was talking with some friends of mine from Blackwood this week. And we were talking about, his name's Nathan. We're talking about Nathan. And we know he plays drums. He's great as a drum player. But you know what? The way his head bobbles and the way he worships as he's playing drums is an inspiration. You could swap him out and get another drum machine, but you couldn't get that head bobble and that contribution of him as himself. You know, you'll be looking at the stage and you are drawn to watching this drummer. And he helps you worship because of his worship. And if you were ever to move on, we would miss him. He is being himself in the right place, and it's such a gift to us. Lois this week has reminded me you don't have to be strong or talented to make this kind of contribution. Lois has been sending to our prayer network email list, prayer chain. If you want to get on this, by the way, just email the office and we can put you on there. And her emails have been extraordinary. They're acts of worship. So she's been like lying in bed, unable to sleep or in pain, and she's punched out an email on her iPhone just sharing what she's thinking. It's like live stream. Real time. Anyway, it's worship. And that tells me even when you are vulnerable and weak, you can serve to strengthen others. Now, Lois will probably have her turn. You know, she's probably have a turn when someone else will need to be strong for her and worship for her. It happens. But isn't that the way it's meant to work? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. And Lois tells me that you can do that even when you are at your weakest and most vulnerable. Together, we are Christ's body, not just by ourselves. We make up together Christ's body. And Paul wants these Corinthians to know, you need each other. You can't have divisions. You're all together Christ's body. You should care and serve all. Verse 25, there should be no division in the body. Then its parts should have equal, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I think we've started to forget this. The together side. Back in, I don't remember the date, but I'm thinking it's a couple of months ago, at least a few weeks ago, we had a working bee. No one rocked up to it. Well, more or less no one. So we were talking about, you know, what did we do wrong there? And certainly I think our lack of communication wasn't helping. But we thought, well, maybe what we need to do is take all the jobs that need to be done in our church and put them on a pin board, and then people can come and take the job when it's most convenient. That's what we thought we could do, you know, fit with everyone's busy lifestyle. Having talked about it as staff on Tuesday, we realized, and this was I said this is what I'm going to preach on Sunday, and we realized we've made a mistake. We're telling you, if we put these little jobs on the board, that we want you to do jobs. Working Bee says do jobs, doesn't it? Come and do jobs. But actually, we missed the point that the job is not the real work. It's not the real work. The real work is what God will do with that. And community, frankly, is God's work. So we're not going to have any more working bees. We're still going to do work. But we're going to have community days. We want to build community through serving together. The offices at the back of our building, which is a strange place, but anyway, the offices at the back of our building were repainted by a group of people together. Most days, there were buddies in the office painting, having fun. That is God's work. Seeing somebody roll by themselves is great that we got that job done. But did we also see God use that for his work? We would prefer that we have fun and maybe not get the jobs done, or we build community and not get all the jobs done by serving together, than just having you come and take slips off paper off the board. We'd prefer that. So it might mean we won't get things done as quick as I'd like, but that will be the way we'll work. As much as possible, we should serve together. At the end of this year, I can see this already. We'll have a bunch of people setting up stalls down there, a bunch of people at the front here putting out stage blocks. There'll be people hanging lights. There'll be people blowing up balloons, barbecuing sausages, and we're going to do that together. And as we surf together, you'll feel like, won't you, hey, that was fun. We did something good. And you know what else? The world who watches us sees that you did it, saw it, that we did it together. When we renovate this place, we will not contract out everything. We probably can't afford that. But there'll be days when there'll be many people here. I don't even know how many, but I'm going to go with, how many should it go with, Ken? 150 people. There'll be days when this place will buzz because we are here. Love it. There'll be days this place will buzz because we are here serving together, and there'll be every generation. There'll be the little tackers that are probably not getting much work done but having fun. And then there'll be people who are baking and cooking scones, Marlene Salmon. And then on and on it will go. And week on week, I already know this, that for instance, playgroup works not because there's a list of jobs, but because people like being together. And as you're together, you're serving 80 families in our community. They don't have contact, as far as I can tell, with many, if any, churches. So we should serve together, because together, we who are many parts form Christ's body. I don't know if I've done a better job at helping us fill rosters today, but I want you to take this away. Our richest contributions are made when we bring who we are into what we do. As members of his body, everyone can bring the love of Christ to show people matter, to build them up and help them grow. And together, we're Christ's body. Let me pray. Our Lord, I am a willing worker. You are a gracious God. There are seeking souls Use me today for your purposes. Amen.